Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Bar Curious Podcast. My name is Mike Stojic, and that right there.
This one right here.
There he is.
Joey Barber.
Joey Barber.
Is what they call me.
Somebody, I'm sure, does. I don't know who they are, but maybe your mom. No, she calls you Joseph. Does she call you Joseph?
I don't know what she calls me.
You don't
maybe
know.
If I'm in trouble.
You just know when you're in trouble. Well, that's like me. Like, I'm Mike pretty much always, unless I'm in trouble. And then my mom's like, Michael.
And she's like, Nicholas.
Michael, get your ass over here.
Nicholas, Mom, I'm not Nicholas.
And I'm like, I'm almost 40, Ma. You can't talk to me like that anymore.
But they can.
That's why I don't go home.
That's why.
I'm just kidding. I go home sometimes. So anyway.
Yeah.
We're here. We got a couple drinks. I'm drinking. You're drinking. What are you drinking?
What am I drinking? I'm drinking Baker's. Baker's 107 proof.
Seven years.
7 years. 107. Single barrel now. Used to be a small batch. So yeah. I'm drinking on the small batch.
Good shit, man.
Yeah.
I'm drinking Metallica's whiskey.
Metallica's whiskey.
Did you know that? It's Blackened?
I've seen that.
Yeah,
I've seen that.
Actually, I haven't had that.
Do you like it?
Yeah. You know, whatever. You know, there's some like.
It's whiskey. You're
bourbon
you're fine
guys
with
are
it.
Like, Metallica, you should not drink that. And I'm like, well, fuck, whatever. It's good, man. They secondary maturate it. I was going to say secondary aging.
Master age it. Master of puppets.
They're going to master. They get their master. They're the master of the puppets who do the aging while the barrel's riding the lightning.
Man,
nothing else matters.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Man, James Hetfield.
They
needs
really
to call me.
They really missed the mark on marketing. They should have called you up for marketing.
They should have. Ride the lightning, Blackened whiskey.
Nothing
be
else
your
matters.
Your own master of the puppet, because nothing else matters. Yeah, it's good though. I enjoy it. Fuck it. Whatever.
That's cool.
I like it.
Oh yeah, I'll try anything.
Shit. Fuck yeah, because you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a good old fashioned.
Like a good old fashioned.
Actually, the guys who, once we get into the story, it's actually the opposite of what we just said. We would try anything, but guys who, the origin story of the old-fashioned will find out is, those guys would not try anything.
That is true. That's
a good They're like, point. I just want to, I don't, I want to drink the way we made it in the old day. Give me
the old school.
I want the old-fashioned kind of drink. Yeah, so. Yeah,
Mike gave away the secret. Secret's out of the bag. We can just wrap this up right now.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening. My name's... check us out on our Instagram and Facebooks. But anyway, yeah, so there it is. We're talking about the old fashioned. It's kind of, if there was ever a big bang in the cocktail universe, it would probably be the old fashioned.
Yeah, I'd say kind so.
Of starting cocktails.
I know
Joey's going to talk a little bit about punch. And
yeah, there's some older stuff that got popular, but as far as like what we know nowadays is, you know, what
we know
is a cocktail.
What a cocktail right. is, it's the old fashioned.
Yeah, I feel like you can ask, you know, anyone on the street, like, what name a cocktail, and I'm sure a good majority are going to say old-fashioned.
Well, I know at Revival, I mean, we sell more old-fashions than anything.
We do, too, actually.
You do, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. We both make really good fucking old-fashioned.
Well, we are whiskey bars, too, so
yeah,
that might have something to do with
yeah.
it.
No, well, sure. But we make a lot of other drinks. We just happen to sell a lot of old-fashioned.
That's true.
So the old-fashioned, according to the International Bartending Association, which is the annual world cocktail competition, they have three categories of cocktails: the unforgettables, contemporary classics, and new era drinks. And the old-fashioned is one of their unforgettables.
Nice.
With a bunch of other really cool drinks. So, I mean, it's legit. Even though it doesn't need, it's one of those things where you don't need, you know, anyone to tell you you're legit. You're the old fashioned.
You just know, yeah.
But it's also probably one of the cocktails too. You know, when you think of specific types of drinks, like with it, you know, like an old fashioned or a Manhattan, the old fashioned probably gets fucked up more than a lot of.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like it's either done really, really well and it's a well balanced, awesome drink, or it's like just.
Fruit salad. but yeah, we're talking about the old fashioned day, like Mike was saying. And I think to understand why the old fashioned is called the old fashioned, you need to understand cocktails and what a cocktail is or was and
right, that
how that came about. And to understand what a cocktail, how a cocktail came about, I think you need to understand what punch is. So we're going to do punch very quickly just to kind of like get us up to speed to where we are to cocktail. So early in the 17th century, distilled spirits were coming to be very popular. That's pretty much most of the world was distilling spirits by this time. But it was just raw, strong spirits. I mean, they weren't mixing it with anything. It was just whatever comes off the still, that's what we're going to drink. And, you know, it wasn't aging in barrels or anything like that. It was, yeah, so it was pretty harsh stuff. But so India was the first place that perfected the taming of these spirits, I guess you could call it. So they started making what they called punch. So punch consisted of a liquor, so whatever their spirit was, sugar, citrus, tea, or whatever other spice that they had, and water. And so it was just a way to kind of tone down this harsh spirit that they had. So you think of, I mean, it's pretty much same specs as like a daiquiri or a margarita nowadays.
Yeah. It didn't just tone down the harshness. It stretched it out. So you weren't drinking something that was, if it's coming straight off the still.
Well, that's another thing. You know what too. I mean? Like, proof that bad boy down a little bit.
It's coming off, I don't know, 150, whatever. I don't know how they were doing it on these old copper.
Instead of one shot, now we can have like a couple of cocktails.
Yeah, now you can actually drink a few and be refreshed instead of like on your ass.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and then fast forward a little bit, punch started becoming one of the most popular drinks in England. It was served hot usually, but sometimes they would serve it with ice. But ice back in those days was more of a rich man's commodity. You didn't have a whole lot of ice.
Yeah, because they had some Eskimo.
Well, how are you storing ice back in the 1600s?
They were up in like the Great White North, and they're cutting blocks out like the size of a small house, and then shipping.
By the time it gets to England, it's the size of a table.
Yeah, wasn't that how? You know, I know this is off topic, but wasn't that part of it? There's icebergs,
I don't know.
Would attach them to ships, and they'd pull them back.
I don't know, but I believe that. I think we should definitely research that for another episode.
I know that sounds crazy, but that we were doing a lot of crazy shit before, you know, technology.
Well, they also to keep it cold way back when they would throw like hay and stuff on top of it to.
Oh yeah, insulation.
Yeah,
insulator,
to keep like it insulated.
Yeah, I think there's truth in that. I think it was like these huge. Not igloos.
a glacier.
Glaciers. And they would, like tugboats and shit.
Tie a line to it.
I'm like, I am so certain of that.
I believe that.
There's going to be some
You're going to have to look into that for
iceberg
me,
expert out there. And he's going to write in and be like, you're an asshole. And I'm going to be like, man, I really thought that was the way we did.
Some iceberg expert.
They're out there ever since the Titanic.
That's a good point. So anyway,
move along.
Yeah, fast forward about 200 years here. Let me get Mike back up to speed. So early in the 19th century, bartenders that were making punch started adding a few more tricks to it. They would substitute the sugar with flavored syrups or liqueurs. They'd replace the water with wine or champagne. They were using combinations of base spirits. And so this is really where the building block of, as it were, mixology kind of came into play. And so that's really where it started as far as about to start turning into a cocktail. And so,
right.
Yeah.
And then what? Some time later it comes over to America, obviously, because everything at some point came to America as the big melting pot. So you're taking a lot of these histories and traditions and playing on those.
Yeah. So at least, I'm not sure when it kind of came over to America, but as far as the word cocktail,
yeah, right.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
there was
for sure
guys,
American.
Yeah, no doubt. But I mean, I guess as far as the tradition of making mixed drinks.
Oh, right.
Like a whiskey sour. My pirates were doing that.
Yeah.
Fucking bad. I always.
All right, I need another egg.
Hey, you need another egg. Well, they didn't have eggs.
I mean, right, I know.
They had their daily ration, privateering and sailors. The sailor. And, you know. Mix a little citrus juice in there, fight scurvy off, add a little sweetener with their booze.
Take off the bite a little bit.
Bada bing, bada boom, you got a whiskey sour.
There you go.
Yeah, in and out, just like that. Thanks to old Blackbeard and his fucking merry men of bandits or what, I don't know. But so it comes to America, and then so they start making drinks, and and then somewhere, no one really knows where the word cocktail came from. But there is an interesting story that Joey dug up concerning a horse, his butt.
A piece of ginger.
And a piece of ginger.
And his anus.
And I had not heard. I've heard other stories about a cocktail, but I'm going to take this one as fact because.
So I found this written up from David Wondrick, who is one of the foremost cocktail historians, where pretty much whatever his word is goes. He knows. Yeah, man. He's seen more spirit and cocktail history than any of us completely combined in the world.
He's totally dedicated his life.
It's insane what he knows.
And he's gotten well, if you're even just remotely interested, just buy his books.
Oh yeah,
I mean, just Google his name. Are great. David Imbibe is a really fantastic one.
Yeah, and he's actually a pretty interesting guy to talk to. Also, I was able to meet him in New York, and he was very, just as charismatic as you would think he is, he's got this long hair and it's kind of cool, little goatee thing going on. And he just acts like one of the guys.
He's like, "Hey everyone, I'm here. And I have,
you want to talk cocktails? Come on.
Talk cocktails? Try me." "No, thanks. You know too much."
Exactly.
"I'm not worthy." Yeah.
but what he said, the way that the word cocktail came about was during, horse racing and horse trade. And so the whole concept was that if you had an old horse that you were trying to get rid of, that, it was kind of a straggler, didn't look really peppy or whatever, you would put a piece of ginger in its tailpipe.
Right up the old...
Right up the tailpipe. And so it would make... That's probably what it did, too.
The horse is
Well, that's probably what happened.
Hey,
so what would happen is the horse's
fact.
Tail would cock up, so it didn't look so feeble and old. And so,
like a cock's tail, like a rooster's tail.
Yeah,
exactly. Think of what a rooster looks like, and his tail looks like that. And rooster's also known as a cock, so he has a tail. And then the horse would get a piece of ginger up its ass, and its tail would do. He would do the same thing.
Well, and so the whole concept with that was that during this time, cocktails were more medicinal, and people would take a cocktail in the morning after a late night of drinking, or just to kind of get you back into spirits. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of a drink to cock your tail up, as they would say, to get you going. So that's
amazing.
That's one of the ways that they think that the word cocktail came about.
Yeah, I never heard.
Which I found super interesting, and that's what I want to go with.
I'm just
going to
say that
one.
Was it. Yeah, let's just go with that. I'd heard the story of the medicinal part of it. That's what I always understood, the medicinal part, and that you would drink it in the morning to feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
You'd feel, because roosters crow in the morning and the tail and... It's still weird, man. It's still, no matter how you.
Just the fact that someone's like, "Hey, let's put a piece of ginger up that horse's ass," and that'll probably somebody will buy him.
Can
for
you
sure now.
The guy whose job it is to shove ginger up a horse's ass.
Well, who's the guy that thought of it in the first place?
Some sick fucking dude.
did you just have a piece of ginger under his fingernail?
He was probably like, this works at home with. with the wife or whatever, and he's like, "Maybe it'll work on the horse." How did that even happen? Man, I wonder what this feels like. Can you take a piece of ginger?
I don't know. That's...
Anyway, moving on.
Let's get away from this
right
horse.
Down the so as far as the first documented usage of the word cocktail, what I found goes back to May 6th, 1806. In an issue of the Balance and Columbian Repository in Hudson, New York, in 1806, when a reader asked to define the word, right? Is that what you saw?
Yeah, so that's one. But go ahead and tell about this one.
Oh, do you
one.
Really?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I got that one where a reader was asking to define the word in May 6th, 1806 in the issue. Well, in the following issue, which was May 13th, the paper's editor wrote that it was a potent concoction of spirits, bitter, water, and sugar. It was also referred to as a bitter sling, which is essentially the recipe for an old-fashioned.
Yeah, so sling was a very popular English drink that's pretty much an old-fashioned.
Sure,
yeah.
And that's the way they explain the word cocktail.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's a bitter sling. We're just going to call it a cocktail instead.
Because of a piece of ginger.
Because there's a horse and a ginger. And a horse walks into a bar with a,
with a piece of ginger.
With a piece of ginger.
But yeah, so I've got, before that, actually, in 1803 was the first written record of the word cocktail. And so that was the April 1803 issue of the Farmer's Cabinet. It's a newspaper from New Hampshire. And so they, that was quoted as saying, drink a glass of cocktail, excellent for the head. So that was the first written record that, that we've been able to find as far as...
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, saying the word cocktail.
I wonder if it was used... I wonder if it was used in the same I guess obviously medicinal. Well, no, because in the 1806, they're actually talking about a drink, a bitter sling was something you didn't drink that in the morning, right? I mean, that was something while you're out at night.
Yeah,
and then so the context is different.
Yeah, it's probably a little different. I mean, I would
assume
that
wherever this was in the South, right? What did you say? Where did
yeah,
you
no,
say?
New Hampshire, New Hampshire.
Oh, that's not the South at all.
No, that's pretty north.
I don't know why I thought this. But it sounds like yours is more for medicinal. They were using the word.
Yeah, they said drink a glass of cocktail. It's excellent for the head. So I think it was more of a sort of like we're talking about in the morning. People would get up, drink this cocktail concoction with liquor.
I wonder if it was made the same way.
I'm not sure.
I mean, that's what I mean by context. In the morning, you know what I mean? If you're taking it when you wake up, it's more medicinal.
Rather than just like a
night, because night on the town type the way thing. They explained it in the Balance and Columbian Repository, it's a drink. I mean, it's spirits, bitters, water, sugar.
They call that stimulating liquor too.
But it was like it was a nighttime thing. Was where you're out having a good time. So the context is.
Yeah, I can see that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can see. Yeah, so you're saying.
Oh man, I'm trying here. But then, you know, in 1833, we see that J.E. Alexander describes something very similar, but this time with rum or gin or brandy, which would also include nutmeg, which to me almost sounds maybe like he was describing more of like a punch, maybe.
Well, also when you're saying 1830s, between the 1830s and 1840s, that's when ice started becoming an integral part of cocktails, and that's when you started getting more of the slings, juleps, smashes, toddies, and more of the cognac type. Variations that you're speaking of, too.
In the 1860s, you know, fast forward another couple decades, it became common to add things like orange curacao.
Yeah, now we're getting fancy cocktails.
Absinthe and
getting
other fancy. Yeah, other things, other liqueurs and fancy things. And people of the time were like, Jerry, slow down. You're going too fast. It was just too intense for me. And they didn't like it, right?
Yeah, that's also another change to this punch or cocktail or however you want to call it. They started making what was called a daisy, and so a daisy consisted of the same ingredients as a punch, except it was shaken rather than stirred. So that's just another little twist that they added.
Yeah, it's like the evolutionary
next
evolutionary step in the way we know cocktails.
Hence, how we're getting to the old fashions.
We are almost there, and we will be there in just a few minutes.
We're going to take a break?
Yeah, we are now.
All right, let's take a break. That'll work.
It's a good place for it. Hey guys, it's your old friend Mike here, and I want to tell you about my bar, Revival 1869. And though we may not be in Raleigh, it is just outside of it in a cute little town called Clayton. We're actually right on the historic Main Street. We focus on craft cocktails, in fact, so much so that we make our own cocktail syrup in-house. We also fresh squeeze all of our juices. I'm also proud to say we have nearly 300 different bottles of whiskey, and that's a lot of fun, especially if you're a whiskey drinker. We also started a YouTube channel. It's called the Revival Social Club. It's more cheeky and fun. We talk history, tell some stories, but most importantly, we teach you how to make your own favorite cocktails at home. So, you know, check that out if you want. You can see everything we have going on at revival1869.com. Check us out on Instagram and Facebook at revival1869. And if you're interested in some of our cocktail syrups, well, check those out at Revival Syrups.
Mike, what are you doing?
Not what?
You're eating all the pizza. Save some for the studio.
No, man, it's too good.
You're supposed to be driving right now.
Yeah, I can multitask, Joey. I can eat a slice of pizza and drive a car.
Mike, there's a pepperoni in your beard.
I regret nothing.
You guys want to try the best pizza in Raleigh? Head on over to Vic's Italian Restaurant downtown. Visit them at vicsitalianrestaurant.com and make sure you follow their pizza bus at Vic's Pizza Bus on social media.
So good.
All right. Hey, Joey, we're back.
Here we go.
Hey.
Round two.
Round two. And this is fun. I always think of that Bob Dylan song when he's like, "And the times, they are a change."
I love Bob Dylan, by the way.
It's a great song.
Isn't Robert amazing? Zimmerman, legal birth name.
Really?
Yeah, Robert Zimmerman, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Really?
I grew up on Bob Dylan. Oh, that's how I know.
I have no idea. It's a great song. He's talking about the times changing in the 70s.
Yeah.
Right? But it's amazing that song is enduring.
Oh, yeah. Right?
I mean, no matter
because the times are always changing.
Literally, right now,
yeah.
2020, I can be like, well, times, they are. And everyone would be like, yeah, you're right. The times are changing.
Like, man, that's an awesome song.
As a matter of fact, dude, they are changing. Look at
that. Hit the nail on the head with that
one. It would. And they were changing in the late 1800s.
Yes.
This time, with this, not just with cocktails, you know, the introduction of things like other flavored liqueurs, Curacao, even absinthe was being used. Like
different
like
simple
Sazerac,
syrups and stuff like
different
that.
Different
flavor
simple syrups. All these extra things were changing the cocktail. But the times were literally changing. I mean, you get now a time where the automobile is being introduced.
Yeah.
Right? So instead of like horse and carriages, people are actually driving.
Yeah.
With combustion engines. And like the Model T was rolled out.
Yeah, could you imagine? I mean, that sort of invention being brought out. I mean,
especially if you were like an old timer who was like 70 years old, and you're like, Jesus, what is that?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing I can think in my lifetime. I mean, a cell phone, but the thing is, you had a phone at the house, so like a phone wasn't new.
No, but
just being able to take it with you.
I'll be honest
though,
like my Apple, my phone, I have the latest app, whatever the fuck the latest Apple is.
Of course you do.
With three cameras on it. Yeah, I like it. So fuck. So what? A lot of people do, Joey. But I'm even still, I catch myself looking at that thing going, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like, this thing does everything. Like, it's remarkable what it can do. So
just having the internet at your fingertips.
Yeah, man.
Being able to,
come on, dude,
being able to listen to this, just standing waiting for the bus.
Yeah. Live streaming. You're not, I mean, you're not that much younger than me, but remember like growing up, there was no internet. I didn't get the internet until I think a sophomore or junior in high school. Sophomore in high school.
Yeah, I was a little bit
younger
than that.
Dial-up.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a dial-up for me, and you'd spend all day. And then college.
Yeah, well, we did. Just sorry to cut you off with that. But talking about dial-up is when they first came out with AOL, you go to Walmart, and they'd have like the free CDs where it's like free 300 minutes of internet.
Oh, that was America Online. AOL.
Yeah, so us being the family that we were, every time we went there, my mom would pick up four or five of those CDs, and we'd have internet for
I don't know
for
if we ever had
days.
AOL. I think ours was, we had dial-up. We were real close to Orlando. I grew up in Florida, in between Orlando and Daytona. And I remember like the stupid sound it would make.
Oh, yeah.
All that sort of weird
stuff. And then somebody
picks
up the phone and is like, get off the phone.
Get off the phone. You just fucked up my trying to download this one picture of Pamela Anderson.
It takes 8 minutes.
It took like 8 minutes to download one picture of Pamela Anderson. Yeah. So, you know, and now you're streaming movies. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's remarkable what's going on. So you can imagine, like, if we consider it, like, in that context.
Right.
With some of these old-timers and even guys, like, in their 30s and 40s, like, driving in, like, a Model T. And they're like, Jesus Christ, slow down. You're driving too fast. You know, there's probably a bunch of them. And then, like, now your neighbor's got electricity. You don't have electricity. Why do the Joneses have electricity and we don't? And you're like, because it's the devil's... devil's magic, and you're like, what? No, it's science. So, you know, when all these things are changing in the world,
yeah,
and then you're that kind of guy, like, who's that band that was like, I'm all like into music,
yeah,
I'm a simple man, or whatever, you know what I'm talking about?
Leonard Skinner,
yeah, Leonard Skinner.
Oh man,
I remember Bob Dylan, but I couldn't get Leonard.
Yeah, we're gonna do karaoke
simple
day with
man.
Mike.
You know, these guys are all like simple men, and they're like, man, I don't want this cocktail that's got all this extra shit in it.
Yeah.
Just give me the way it used to be. Give me the old-fashioned way of a cocktail.
Yeah.
Right? And they were like, I don't want all this extra. Just give me the old-fashioned kind of cocktail. and it stuck.
Yeah, that's kind of how it came about.
Yeah, from a simple man.
from a simple man.
It was like riding shotgun in a Model T at 15 miles an hour going, Jesus, slow down, you're going to get us killed. On the way to the tavern to get an old fashioned.
Yeah.
I laugh, but, you know, it's happening to me.
That's probably true.
As things start to change, I'm like, what is this? As I get older and things happen. Well, they do. So they did. It created a cocktail that became known as the Old Fashioned.
Yeah, and there was, going off of that, in 1886, there was a magazine editor by the name of Leander Richardson, mm-hmm. and he complained that the modern cocktail had become so complex that people were beginning to desert it. And so he was pretty much saying that every bartender had their own recipe and idea for a cocktail and what a cocktail was.
Right.
And so whenever people would go into different bars to order cocktail, it would come up different every single time.
Right.
And
you never knew what you were getting.
Yeah, you didn't know what you were getting right. at this point because everyone had their own ingredients and their own style for it. And like you said, that's when a lot of the old timers that didn't want to go on with this new trend would say, I want a cocktail, but I want the old fashioned way.
Yeah, the
old fashioned
way.
I don't want your way. I want the old fashioned way.
Make it the way they used to make it back in the day when men were men. And
yeah. Yeah. So before you put all the, you know, all the simple syrups and everything.
Put all your fruity concoctions in there.
Yeah. Just wanted the old school way.
Get it the old way. Which I found a pretty cool thing. It was actually, we talked about David Wandrich earlier. This was from his book Imbibe, taken from it. When an editor and critic hated the newfangled cocktail so much, he goes, his old ode to the old fashioned dates from 1886. That was yours, right?
You said
it might be the same.
Maybe. Might be the same guy. This guy just
potentially
is like
the same guy, just shitting all over everything.
Yeah, like, he just hates cocktails.
He's like these millennials. They're ruining everything.
These millennials born in the 1900s.
No, it couldn't have been. It would have been born in the 1870s.
Yeah, you know. Whatever. It's close. Whatever, close though, you know?
Yeah. He's like, so he's quoted as saying, an old-fashioned whiskey cocktail would bring forth a drink made with a slug of good booze, lump of sugar instead of a syrup, ice in a glass, and none of that vulgar shaking or straining. And no garnish, no absinthe, no chartreuse, no other flavorings, extract injected into it.
So wow. no yellow number five into the
that
old
guy,
fashioned.
No, hell no.
He's pissed.
20 whatever. No, he was mad. He's like, just a slug of whiskey, a lump of sugar.
I mean, I'll take a slug of whiskey. I'm not going to lie about that.
God, me too. I wish I knew what a slug of whiskey was. But he was part of, I guess, what would be known as the resistance. And
the resistance.
The resistance. We don't want your newfangled cocktails.
Yeah.
We don't want that. We want it we long for a simpler time.
Exactly. Well, and what's funny is that so many people actually ask for this old fashioned style of cocktail that it began to take on its own recipe. So like it turned into a recipe at this point.
Right. Because at some point, you know, if that's the trouble, is going into a bar asking for a cocktail and it always being different from every bar, you almost have to create some sort of consistency
right.
across the industry on what a
it's
cocktail
like, okay, everyone,
is.
Everyone is okay with this.
Guys, everyone's good, right? This crazy old man says it's a slug of booze, a lump of sugar, and some ice. Are we good? Are we good? Everyone's good? All right, that's the specs now. That's what we're doing. That's on the menu, the old-fashioned.
And then the old-fashioned started changing itself.
It did. There's a ton of different variations, but still, you know, in keeping with the old fashioned and talking about some more of the earlier references, you may think that Kentucky started it because bourbon.
Because of the bourbon, yeah.
Well, in Louisville, they have a whole week dedicated to it, I
right.
think. But the reality is if you think about it, times weren't changing as fast in the South as it was in the North, most especially Chicago and New York.
Yeah.
You're right, Boston. Probably Washington, D.C.
Yeah, things are moving a lot quicker up there.
A bit more progressive, right? So the automobile, electricity is probably...
All right, we got two there.
Probably a printing press. You know, some kid making newspapers on a printing press.
Kids on the corner. Extra, extra, read all about it.
Hey, we got a newfangled drink called a cocktail. But you have all this stuff happening. So the likelihood is the cocktail or the, the old fashioned was very likely started in Chicago. And when you start hearing, you know, when was the first usage of the word old fashioned used to describe a particular style of cocktail, what I found from one of the pages of the Chicago Tribune in 1880, there was a guy named Samuel Tilden, who was a presidential candidate, and he lost once, and then I guess he lost again, and then finally he's like, oh, fuck this.
That's enough of that.
That's enough of losing. I'm going to do something different with my life. So he didn't run. Well, this prompted his opponents to toast his withdrawal with hot whiskey, sour mashes, and old-fashioned cocktails. I guess that was on the flyer for this campaign that his opponent was running. It's like, we will toast his toast the victory, his withdrawal, with hot whiskeys, sour mashes, and old-fashioned cocktails.
That's really cool.
One of the earliest. Yeah. I'm talking shit about some politicians.
He's gone. You want an old-fashioned cocktail?
We're toasting this guy out of here. Get out of here. We're drinking hot whiskeys, sour mashes, and old-fashioneds.
That's pretty cool, though.
It is kind of neat.
I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, and then sometime later, a lot of things going on in Chicago and New York with different bars and, you know, making old fashions. And then somewhere along the lines, the Pendennis Club shows up and they decide they're going to claim it. Why don't we take a break first before we get into
it? We're going to break it off?
Yeah. Why don't we? Because it's going to be a little bit. You know, there's a bit of information there with these guys. And yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Let you guys digest that.
Take it all.
Take it in.
Take it in. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, Joey Barber here from Bar Curious Podcast. I want to tell you a little bit about my bar in Raleigh, North Carolina. Not only do we specialize in craft cocktails, but we've also won Best Whiskey Bar in Raleigh 2 years in a row. One of the things that sets us apart from the rest is our expansive collection of vintage spirits. We have everything from bourbon, scotch, gin, Amaros, dating back from Prohibition all the way to the 1990s. If there's a unique pour that you're looking for that no one else has, this is your spot. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Blind Barber, or email us at contact@blindbarber.com. Join our email list to be updated on future tastings and private events. Hey, Mike, you know who I hold in high regard?
Who's that, Joey?
Mechanics and people who know how to work on cars.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Back when I was a combat engineer in the Marine Corps, I had the opportunity to be a platoon commander of the heavy equipment platoon. And I'll tell you, my guys could fix anything.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have if you don't have the right parts.
That's right. And that's why when you are working on a car, you need to check out my friends, the LKQ crew. They're the number one in auto collision repair industry for parts both body and mechanical. Check them out at lkqcorp.com for more info and all your auto repair needs. LKQ crew.
That's good.
Welcome back for
the
exciting conclusion of the old fashioned.
The old fashioned.
An old fashioned wouldn't like an exciting conclusion, though. It would like the original.
Just the normal
beginning.
Original. Yeah.
An old fashioned would be like, I just like your normal, boring intro. I don't want an exciting conclusion.
Let's go back to the intro.
You keep that, you newfangled bartenders. So, you know, as time goes on and cocktails are evolving and they're getting, you know, more and more intense, people are now calling for another drink. You know, they want a cocktail made the old-fashioned way. And, you know, that gave rise to the literal drink, the old-fashioned.
Yeah, it ended up becoming a recipe at that point.
It did.
Yeah.
Because we needed some consistency across the different bars. And what we found is it's very likely that it originated probably somewhere in Chicago.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the newspaper articles that go back to, like, the 1880s, there's different articles there that talk about the old fashioned as a cocktail.
Yeah, as a drink, yeah.
Right. But there's one club in particular in Louisville, Kentucky that claims ownership of the drink. And it's called the Pendennis Club. And it was a gentleman's club, not the gentleman's club you went to. Not the kind you remember from your college days or your bachelor party.
It was like a top hat and cane gentleman's club.
Yeah, this is where everyone had monocles and
After Derby Day, Gentlemen's Club.
Yeah, when like literal gentlemen.
Yeah. Would come. chivalrous men.
Yeah, yeah, not strippers and thongs and dollar yeah. bills all over. A gentleman. Club was founded in 1881 in Louisville, Kentucky, claims to have invented it. According to them, it was to pay homage to Colonel James Pepper. James E. Pepper?
Yeah.
You familiar with him? He's the bourbon distiller.
Yep, an old distiller.
Old distiller. And they created this cocktail, I guess, to pay homage to him. But once again, David Wondrich. Is it Wondrich or Wondrich?
Wondrich.
I've been saying it wrong this whole time. There's a CH at the end of his name. It says, like,
yeah, I'm sure people pronounce it differently.
They pronounce my name all fucked up too, so.
Well, your name is, I mean, there's a bunch of consonants that shouldn't be beside each other.
I have five letters in my name.
Yeah, but
I have six letters. I had to count that out. But so anyway, David Wondrich, he finds that it's unlikely that it was the Pendennis Club, because he actually finds earlier mentions of the drink old-fashioned cocktail. Yeah. Not just saying an old-fashioned way, but literally the drink.
Like a recipe, yeah.
Like a recipe, right? In the Chicago Daily Tribune from February of 1880, where they actually mention old-fashioned cocktails. And if that's the case, the Pendennis Club didn't open until 1881. So how is it that they're the original, you know, the OGs of the old fashioned? If it's already being,
I mean, it's
about
a good
Chicago.
Story, but
it's fun. Yeah, whatever.
It's a really
it's
good
fun.
Story.
But Chicago was way ahead of its time. I mean, shit, the World's Fair was in Chicago.
Right.
I mean, they were like progressive.
Yeah, nothing against Kentucky, but Chicago and New York is where all the world renowned bartenders are going.
Oh, they were.
And San Francisco, it wasn't. Yeah. Landing in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, can you imagine Louisville in the 1880s? Oh my
God. Hey, we love you, Louisville. We do. We really do.
Listen, some amazing stuff comes out of Louisville.
We love you guys.
Yeah.
As far as like
for bourbon,
as far as progressive bartenders in the 1800s. Sorry.
Yeah. We got to give it to Chicago.
Yeah. Sorry.
So they find it. That's more than likely the case that it came from up north in Chicago. Yeah, so, you know, we found again in 1888 that it was a Chicago bartender, Theodore Perlow? Did you get this?
I didn't know.
Theodore Proulx.
Oh.
Like a Frenchman?
Yeah, Perlow. Probably.
Perlow. Theodore Perlow of the Chapin and Gore, which was one of the most famous saloons in Chicago of its time. He actually included the old fashioned in his menu, and that was supposedly the first time an old fashioned was a menu item in 1888.
That's pretty cool.
Once again, in Chicago.
Chi-town.
Chi-town. Not Louisville. So, but I always find that fascinating, and then we'll talk about the old fashioned through the years. Kentucky has this whole thing. 2015, you know, because bourbon. Right. Louisville bourbon. The old fashioned is pretty much the preeminent bourbon cocktail. I mean, you're looking at a drink that if you're making it, you know, the way I think both our bars make it, it's almost like, 99% bourbon.
Right.
With a little bit of sugar, a little bit of bitters.
Some bitters, yeah.
So, you know, it kind of makes sense why Louisville would want to claim this drink as theirs. And in 2015, old fashioned was named the city's official cocktail.
It can be your official cocktail. It's just not from there.
But it's not from there. It's Chicago. But you can, if you want to name it that, I mean, fine. But for the first 2 weeks of June, or in the first 2 weeks of June, Louisville called Old Fashioned Fortnight. It encompasses bourbon events, cocktail specials, National Bourbon Days in there. And it's always celebrated on June 14th.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
I'm about to go there for my birthday then.
Is that your birthday?
No, it's the 10th.
And my wife's part of the week. It's the first 2 weeks.
Well, my wife's the 15th, so.
Guys are in, man.
Dude, that's done.
Take the averages. I have literally nothing in my life about June, but I'll go anyway.
Well, I'm kind of in your life now.
Wait, National Bourbon Month is September.
Right now, yeah.
It's September.
Yeah. Yeah. It's here, Mike.
How is the rest of the world doing? But the first 2 weeks of Louisville, man, we should look into that. Now I'm bar curious about
about Louisville.
Why Louisville's doing the first 2 months of June?
Well, they have to do something bourbon related every month of the.
That's probably
the
true.
Year.
Yeah. That makes sense. So anyway, yeah. So I mean, a drink. I think you too, Joey, created in Chicago.
Yeah, I would say that's probably. Most realistic place that it was actually first created.
Yeah. So anyway, let's go on to let's talk about the old fashioned through the ages.
Through the ages.
here's our trip through time with Joey Barber.
Oh, trip through time. I like that.
Hop in your DeLorean. We're
that's
going.
That's
going
to have to be a segment on every episode. The trip through time.
Yeah. Joey Barber.
So, yeah. So anyway, the old fashioned, there's pretty much three distinct times that have distinct recipes for the old fashioned.
As long as they're distinct.
I mean, they're distinct. I'm trying to distinct this thing up. So you remember things, you know? So the 19th century, so the 1800s is they used bourbon or rye. So, I mean, there's a lot of pretty rye heavy in the U.S. in the 1800s. So they use bourbon or rye, bitters, sugar, and water is essentially what they would use to make the old fashioned, usually like a sugar cube or something like that. And then the 20th century came right around Prohibition. They started actually muddling fruit in it. That's when the fruit started coming into play. So they would use bourbon, bitters, sugar, and that's when they put orange slices and cherries in there, muddle it together, kind of cut down the harshness of the whiskey. And then the 21st century, everyone got their mind back right and took all the fruit. That's a personal opinion. I don't like the fruit in my old fashions.
Well, Ian, I think let's go to the beginning.
Yeah.
When you said the old fashioned was either made with rye or bourbon,
right.
But it was probably rye.
I think it
makes a lot of sense that it would have been rye, which also makes me laugh a little bit about Louisville's claim to the old fashioned, because really it wouldn't have been until after Prohibition that you would have seen old fashions made with bourbon.
Right.
Because America was drinking rye.
Yeah, it was rye dominant.
Yeah, because the way whiskey was made from up north in New England and kind of made its way into the South, everyone was drinking rye whiskey pre-Prohibition.
Right.
Bourbon didn't get popular until after. So it makes sense that the old-fashioned would have been made with rye during those times.
Yeah.
And then you said the fruit thing happened during Prohibition.
Yeah, so like during Prohibition.
And that makes sense too, at least in my mind, because you're getting probably a lot of like moonshine type whiskey.
That's what I'm thinking.
A lot of bootlegged whiskey, so it probably wasn't of the same
like quality or quality. Yeah, caliber.
Quality or caliber. So you're getting all this like real shitty stuff because, you know, everyone was shut. Kind of like right now with bars. We're all shut down.
We are all closed. Yeah.
So all the distilleries were closed. You get a lot of these moonshiners making whiskey and it's not good.
Yeah.
So that makes sense that you might have had to cut it with fruit.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking too. You know, put some fruit in the harsh whiskey. I'm not thinking it's like a bonded whiskey that's a little bit higher quality.
Yeah, bonded. So what? That's been aged for at least 4 years.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, yeah, you don't have the age or the maturation.
I'm sure high quality whiskey got put in it with the fruit and stuff, but it probably originated because of the moonshine style whiskey.
Yeah, because they probably weren't making the cuts when they were doing, you know, the head, hearts, and tails.
Yeah, Prohibition, just get some liquor out there.
Dump it in the fucking bottle, guy. Yeah. Be happy you got something, right?
This is booze. Just take it.
just drink it, all right? And then you're like, oh, I don't know, man. We might need some cherries and oranges. This is pretty bad. We'll just call it a cocktail. Nobody wants to tell granddad his whiskey sucks, so let's just
call it an old fashioned.
We'll call it an old fashioned and put a bunch of fruit in it. But we held on to it. And then it was bars. Well, I mean, this is where I learned. So whatever. I learned how to bartend at like Ruby's and Fridays, which is where we did. We took like maraschino cherries, oranges, and sugar cubes.
Well, the first bars that I worked at, like I didn't know any better, and that's what I was taught.
Right, that's how you're taught.
Yep. Yeah, well, it was funny because I remember the first couple times somebody asked for an old fashioned. I think the first times that I was actually serving in a bar, I was probably 19 or 20 actually bartending. And somebody asked for an old fashioned, and we weren't known for that. It was high volume, just like kind of collegey.
Oh,
here's
man.
Your Red Bull vodka. Type thing.
You're making like Long Island iced teas and
God, yeah.
You're just what is even in that? And you're like, I don't know. Pick up those five bottles and dump it in the
glass. That's exactly what it was.
And then pour some Coke on top. I don't fucking know.
Here, $9. I don't know. Just get out of here.
Move along, guy. I don't know.
But yeah, so like the first time that I learned it was somebody telling me that. You know, somebody ordered an old fashioned. I asked one of the bartenders, like, what's in an old fashioned? Well, just throw a couple cherries in there and an orange, like slice up an orange and then muddle it. And I was like, what the hell is all this? Yeah.
I was like, all right. I got to do what? You want me to smash it with a stick? Yeah. It's the only drink we do that. Like, what? What's the point of this?
Dump a pack of sugar in it.
That's the thing. Like, nobody ordered it. There might be one guy, and it was always some old grizzled looking dude who's like, give me an old fashioned. And I'm like, I'm used to making Sex on the Beach.
Right, yeah.
Cosmos, Long Island, made a shit ton of Long Islands.
Yeah.
Oh, especially God, at Ruby's and TGI Fridays.
Yeah, we did too. And then I actually tried one for the first time, and I was like, why does anybody drink this?
Yeah, I was like, this is awful.
Yeah. So anyway, back to our old fashioned.
Hey, Trip Through Time with Joey.
Oh, yeah. Are we back on the Trip Through Time?
Yeah.
So, all right, so going back into the 21st century now, when everyone got their heads back straight, they started taking the orange slices and the cherries back out and started going back to the original way of making the old fashioned, where they use whiskey, bitters. Sometimes people put orange bitters in it with the Angostura. But simple syrup is now introduced in the 21st century into the old fashioned. Nice. So instead of some sugar or a sugar cube, people are using simple syrup where they, you know, do like a 1-to-1 ratio of sugar and water or demerara sugar and use that as the sweetener for it.
Which makes sense. I mean, half the reason you had that sugar, well, I don't know if it's half the reason or not, but I mean, if you're muddling fruit, you can muddle a sugar cube and just drop the sugar cube.
Right.
I mean, that's your measurement is one or two sugar cubes.
Yeah.
So now you remove the fruit. Now you're just wasting your time
muddling just a piece of sugar.
To just make it into a syrup. Right. Right. Move along already, man. Stir the drink and move along. Just get it done.
I'd probably have to agree with that.
You know, there's no more fruit in it.
I don't need the stick anymore.
Yeah. No more sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one wants the stick in there. Muddlers have their place, just not in the
they
old
do.
Fashion.
Exactly. I mean,
there's a lot of great drinks that needs muddling.
Yeah.
I love the word muddling. I mean,
muddling?
You need a muddling kit? That cocktail needs a muddling.
The Muddlers, Joey and Mike.
Hey, welcome
from
to the Muddlers.
Bar Curious.
You know, that's hilarious because we almost call ourselves the Muddlers.
We did. There was a variation of that.
We had a lot of names before we came up with Bar Curious.
Oh, yeah. It was Muddlers. That was a long night of trying to think of
East Side Muddlers with Mike and Joey. So anyway, geez, time traveling. Yeah. So where are we at? Where are we today?
Yet? Well, I just, yeah, we jumped back. Yeah, so today is where we took the cherry and orange slice out, and right. It's not a fruit salad anymore. So
it's not, but it's cool because today there may not be all the weird fruit, but there are some really fun variations.
Right, now we're on variations.
Yeah, so you know, if you're a home bartender, home mixologist, whatever you want to call yourself, just a cocktail enthusiast, and you make stuff at home, the old fashioned is one of the more fun ones to play with because
right.
it's easy. Yeah, it's a relatively simple drink to put together. What makes it so great is that it does have that simplicity, but it also has a lot of complexity because of how well balanced it is, depending on the type of bourbon you're using and then maybe the different type of syrup and bitters that you're using.
Right.
Right. It takes you on a really fun journey when you're drinking it. So there's a lot of fun things you can do just by changing up the bitters. Maybe adding variations to the simple syrup.
Yeah, trying a different simple syrup.
Smoking a glass.
Yeah, even using a different spirit at this point, too. Because, I mean, I love doing like Oaxacan old fashioned, using tequila or mezcal.
Nice.
Doing it like a mezcal old fashioned. Oh, man. I'm a mezcal fiend.
We had a drink at Revival like that. The whole idea was, how do you make a tequila? I want an old fashioned, but I want a tequila old fashioned.
Yeah.
And we did one. With a reposado tequila, and I used a coffee infused ice cube.
Yeah.
And we had, I think it was chocolate mole bitters. So the coffee, the chocolate, and the tequila.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, what was fun was that as the ice cube melted, you got more of the coffee flavor. So it started out strong with tequila because, you know, the majority of it is tequila.
Right.
And some of that chocolate. And then as the coffee melted, the ice cube melted, you pulled more coffee notes. So a lot of times when your drink gets warmer, you know, it can, or as the ice melts, it dilutes.
Yeah, it dilutes it.
It dilutes the drink. That's what I'm trying to say. But in this case, because it was a coffee infused ice cube, it actually evolved the drink.
That's pretty crazy.
I thought it was
so,
a lot of fun.
So does this mean, since we're all doing variations now, are we bastardizing the old fashioned again?
Man,
you think the guys in the 1800s would
slow down, guy? Yeah. You're going to get us killed.
If the guys came into our bars now, they'd be like, "Hey, Mike, what are you doing putting a coffee ice cube in my old fashioned?"
Who freezes one? They're going to be pissed off that I'm freezing their coffee. They're like, "The only way to drink it is black and hot
and
as shit."
And they're going
to
wonder where you got all that ice from.
They're going to be like, "How did you even do that? You took the coffee to the North Pole, made a giant glacier, and then shipped it down."
So yeah, so I guess we are all changing the old fashions.
Well, I've never been a traditionalist. I'm very progressive, I think, with the way we do cocktail, even with whiskey. Well, shit, we talked earlier. I'm a big fan of Metallica's whiskey black.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I know it's different. They do it in black brandy. I just like that. I like the idea of pushing the envelope.
Right.
What I don't like is cheesing things up and making it corny, which is with maraschino cherries and oranges. Like, don't turn my drink into a piece of candy.
Yeah.
You know, you can do it right. And I think another one we did was a smoked lavender old fashioned, which was fun. So we make our own cocktail syrup. It's a lemon lavender cocktail syrup that we actually sell at Revival. So we take away the demerara, the bar spoon of demerara, and you substitute in our lemon lavender syrup, and then you smoke the glass. So what you end up with is a smoked lavender old fashioned.
Oh yeah, which that sounds
out,
good.
Came out really nice. Yeah. So I mean, something relatively simple. Just take that out, put that in.
Yeah, and what we do also. Talking about doing different things at our bar is that what we do for the old fashioned that we sell the most of, we actually call it the BOB, the bourbon over bourbon.
Nice. Oh, I've had that many times.
Yeah. So the reason why I call it bourbon over bourbon is we use two different types of bourbon in our old fashioned. So we use a high proof and then a lower proof bourbon. And it really bounces out, makes a really nice flavor for
nice.
It. So
it does
a little twist on it too, that most people don't do either.
Yep. I think that's awesome. So there's really, you know, in the world of cocktails, don't ever let anyone tell you there's a right or wrong way of doing it.
There is never a right or wrong way.
No, it's what you like.
Yep, and that's exactly right.
If you like
right.
it, then you're. I mean, even though we shit on Long Islands.
All right, you probably shouldn't drink in Long Island.
All right, that's the one. Buttery nipples.
But no, I mean, it's
there's a place for everything.
Right.
And, hey, look, you like what you like, and that's cool. So, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Unless it's a Long Island.
Unless it's a... In the next episode, Mike hates on Long Islands.
No, but seriously, have fun with an old-fashioned, man. I mean, there's been some really cool ones.
Well, what's funny, too, I don't want to go off on a tangent about this, but like as easy as the old-fashioned is to make, being, you know, four ingredients, damn, it's easy to mess up, too, for some time. Some bars you go into, and you're like, what is that?
But yeah, I go, depending on where I go to eat or drink.
Too much booze or too much sugar. Or I mean, like, you can.
It's true, yeah.
It's a very simple drink. Don't overthink it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I always say, if you add too much of one thing, add more of some of the other things. And you don't.
That's too much sugar. I guess I need more booze.
Oh, shoot. I put in too many of those. Well, just got to double up on that. It's all an equation, guys.
You end up getting your old-fashioned in a pint glass after Mike's done with it.
Yep. Done that before. Anyway, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
No, I don't think so. But I think that was kind of fun. I hope that was informative to people about like how the old-fashioned came to be and why. And
yeah, and if you're thirsty, you should be, because we talked a lot about old-fashioned.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get an old-fashioned.
Make yourself
this.
One. Yeah. Make an old-fashioned the new-fashioned way.
Try that at the house. Yes. An old-fashioned the new-fashioned
way. Don't ever let anyone tell you you're doing it wrong, because as long as you enjoy it, you're right.
That's right. I like that.
There you go. All right. With that being said, I guess, we're still very new into our podcast, so we don't have listeners writing into us yet. So this would be when we came up with the template, we were like, all right, let's leave some space at the end. So if, you know, someone writes in, we can address whatever they're writing, but we're still too new and no one's written into
us. Somebody will write in one day.
Hey, guys.
Hopefully it's good.
Please. Feel free if you want to just tell us how you're doing today. I
mean, yeah, there you go.
Let us know. Or if you like what you're hearing, or you got a question, or hey, we're human too, and we might have screwed something up. So if you want to fact check us, feel free. Whether or not we read it on,
on the podcast. It does not hurt our feelings to go through stuff at all.
But it would be fun to you know, have some listener mail that we can actually talk about.
Yeah,
and then it's just not so lonely, Mike and Joey. It wouldn't be the lonely Mike and Joey show.
Yeah, Mike and Joey with a bottle of booze sitting on the table. It's like we're pretty much just in our living room at this point.
I know. So anyway, if you want to write in, you can do that at barcurious@gmail.com.
It's actually barcuriouspodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, my God. How many times did I screw that? Luckily, we only have a couple episodes. Yeah.
Don't send that email to anyone else. It's barcuriouspodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at barcuriouspodcast as well.
Literally everything is barcuriouspodcast.
Barcuriouspodcast. Just remember
podcast
that.
Podcast on the end of it.
Yeah, we're a podcast, you know?
We're a podcast called Bar Curious.
There you go.
Thanks for listening. And we will see you next time.
Until next time.